Hey, this is Andrea, and you're listening to the City Heart Podcast. We hope that this series inspires you, challenges you, and propels you to dive deeper into your relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
But again, just blessed to have you here. We're actually kicking off a brand new teaching series today that I'm excited about, that we'll be working into. And so over the next few weeks, and so I encourage you, man, to really just stay connected with what's going on at the church. As I said, there's so many exciting events that are coming up and even more that we're going to announce really soon. Some great things that are happening behind the scenes that we can't wait to tell you about that God's working out on our behalf. But again, we're so excited to have you here. If you would do me a favor, though, for just a moment, I just want to give kudos to our team, the people that work behind the scenes to make things like baptism and Easter and Good Friday night, worship night happen. Can you just give them a hand to our staff, production team, kids ministry, worship team? Man, all those people, they do such amazing work so that when you walk in on a Sunday, that the temperature in the room is right, that baptism's ready to go, that the worship's ready to go, all those things. We want you to have an amazing experience. And so, man, we encourage you to just, when you see them, if you see somebody that's working, man, just be a blessing to them. Give them, tell them thank you, encourage them, all those good things. But let's jump into the Word. If you have your Bibles, open up your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll read in verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 reads like this. It says, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Everybody say freedom.
Freedom.
And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. If you have something, leave it there. 2 Corinthians, we'll come back to that, but I'm going to kind of introduce more passage of scripture here, and that's going to be Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 13 through 18. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. And here it reads, the Apostle Paul speaking to us here, and he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, for you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I'm going to preach a message today from this new series that we're starting today called Feed the Need. I'm preaching a message today called Live Freely. Live Freely. Bow your heads, let me pray for you briefly. Lord, I thank you so much for this day. Again, for this opportunity that we've had to come together, God, to worship and to honor your name. Lord, I pray over these next few minutes as we communicate your gospel, Lord, that you would just allow the words to come alive in us. Allow your word, God, to just reveal to us who we are. God, let us see exactly who you have designed us to be. God, show us through your word that you love us, that you care about us, that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives, Lord, and that you designed to be in relationship with us. Lord, we thank you that your word is true, that it is for us, and that is the guide for our lives. And we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. We all say together,
amen.
Amen. Amen. So this year, we sought out at the top of this year to really talk about some fundamental truths about the Word of God. Some things that you should know. And we start off with a series called The Bottom Line, where we talked about the gospel. The fact that we want you to know what the gospel is, and not only that you know it, but also that you would communicate it, right? And then we were in a series called Forbidden Fruit. Anybody remember that series, right? It was a good one, the apple one. It was all sparkling stuff. I love that series, right? It was a great series where we talked about kind of what sin is, that forbidden fruit, and the decisions that we make, right, to choose certain things over things that actually look like God. And then we got into a series entitled Lord and Savior. And if you know me, I've been following a pattern. Really, we've been kind of talking about some similar themes over and over again. Why? It's because that we want you to grow spiritually. We want you to grow spiritually. We don't want a church full of immature saints. We want you to be someone that has grown in your faith, that has grown in your knowledge of God. And so much so that you get to the point where you're actually craving God. I want more and more. What I have is starting, man, I'm starting to see the impact on my life. And so I'm actually desiring more and more of that in my life. That's the place where we really want you to get to. Whether you're young or whether you're old, we all should be in a position where we are desiring God more and more. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this series, Feed the Need. We're going to be talking about the fact that we can and should desire God. And one of the things that you should know from the Word is what happened in the garden, because that affects how and why you actually have to desire God. When Adam and Eve sinned, they actually did something. They shifted a paradigm when they sinned. They shifted a pattern. They actually shifted a standard, the order that God had established for our lives when he created us. When they sinned, they messed it up. They jacked it up. They changed what was supposed to be life, what it was supposed to look like for us, that we actually would all, right, have the same garden experience that they had. But they messed up. Right. And so we've been living with the ramifications and the repercussions of that choice. And their decision, what it did is that it shifted the order and the organization of how all people after them would interact with God, where they got to walk with God, the Bible says, in the cool of the day. Now you have to do more work, it seems like, to get to God, where God was just literally in their presence. Right now it feels sometimes, and y'all tell me if I'm lying, right? It feels sometimes like, man, I got to work extra hard just to understand and know who God is. Sometimes it feels like that. But they were given the opportunity to live freely while also enjoying the protection that comes with living within the boundaries of God's authority. God gave them free will. That's what we all get. We all have free will. That is a God-given gift. It's free will. But that free will comes the way that it was designed to happen, is that we would have free will, but also that we would live within the boundaries of God's authority and the fullness of life that comes from being in his divine presence. So I get to be free and experience life and enjoy things and, man, and have a good time while also understanding and knowing the true power of God, his nature, what he thinks about me, and actually how he desires and designed for me to live. There's this duality that happens that's supposed to happen in our lives, that yes, you have free will and you're supposed to be able to enjoy that free will while also being in the presence of God. That's what your life looks like. But what happened when they sin is that every person after them does not get to enjoy the same presence of God literally with them in the garden, right? We don't get to enjoy that same presence, right? Because every person after them has the freedom to live, right, within these same boundaries. But now, as we said during the Forbidden Fruit series, we're burdened. We're burdened with, how do I say, with this penchant for rejecting God's authority. It's like we want the free will, but we don't want the responsibility that comes with the free will. We want the freedom, but we don't want the responsibility that comes with the freedom. But I believe that God designed us to live in that duality where we have free will, but we are also guided by his authority. We're actually living under his protection, under his umbrella, Ella, Ella, hey, like we're living right under his covering. That's what we get to experience, right? His divine presence. But it seems like, because of what Adam and Eve did, it seems like we're just moving further and further away from the presence of God. And we're always, people always feel like they're in this balance to try to get back to that place, to get back into his presence. But here's the beautiful thing, and this is what we celebrated today. Through Jesus's life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection, God's original paradigm, what he originally designed for us, that original pattern, that original standard, and that order for mankind, what Jesus did is he reestablished that order. So now we're not on the outskirts looking in, wishing that we can be in God's presence. Rather, what Jesus established, he actually reformulated and recalculated and repurposed some things so that we could be back into the presence of God. Now, we can enjoy that duality again. And here's what Jesus accomplished by doing this. What did he do? He removed the sin of guilt and shame that we all carry. There was a removal of that from us when he went to the cross and died and rose again. And actually, here's what else he did. There was a redirection of God's wrath that you deserved, punishment for the sins that you committed, right? What he did is he redirected that wrath away from us and onto himself on the cross. And what he did was actually remove that wrath from us, and he put us back into favor with God. There was also a reconciliation of our relationship with God. There was a removing of the dividing wall of separation that sin causes. So when you sin, you move further and further away from God. You are separated from God. But what Jesus did is he tore the veil, literally the thing that separates us from the presence of God. He said, actually, I'm going to do away with that so that you don't have this place where, man, where you're kind of, you feel like you're outside the presence of God, where you have this freedom, but you can't enjoy his presence. No, Jesus tore the veil so that we could be back into God's actual presence. There was redemption. What does that mean? That means we were bought with a price through his blood. When Jesus' blood was shed on the cross, he actually paid for you and for you to enjoy the freedom that I was talking about, because you actually had no access to it. You had to get a ticket, right? And the ticket was his blood. And so when God sees you, what he actually sees is the blood of Jesus covering your life.
Yeah.
And so it's like you get free access, like you walking in VIP into the club. You just get to walk into God's presence because of what Jesus did.
Yeah, so good.
And finally, what he did, it was restoration of our position with God. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ of all that he did, which means that everything he gets to do, we get. Owen came up here to get Ellis's gift. And he was like, look, I'm going to be a co-heir today of his graduation. Sorry, brother, you missed out. I'm taking your gift and I'm going to be a co-heir in this. Look, that's what it means, that actually everything that he gets, we get. What's his is now ours. And that's why we see in Galatians 5:13, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. You were called to be free. But please do not use this freedom to indulge your flesh. Don't go back on what Jesus did. Don't negate all this work, all this reconciliation and redemption and all these things that he had to do on your behalf. Don't give it back to the enemy, but continue to claim it. What indulge your flesh really means in certain translations, it says, don't give yourself an excuse to undo all the good work that Jesus has done for you and in you. Some of us have been saved and set free, baptized, filled with the Spirit, and go right back. Literally negating all the work that Christ has done for you and the things that you know to be true. That God's original paradigm, that pattern, that standard in order for mankind was freedom. But it's like we just give it right back. But there is a fundamental need that we all have. There's a fundamental need that we have for all the things that Jesus did to get us back into the presence of God. And so what we want you to learn how to do in this series is learn how to feed that need. Every day, your body craves God. It craves to be in his presence, to know him in a real way, and to experience all the things that Jesus went and suffered for on your behalf. And what the word is telling us is, hey, don't allow your flesh to be the thing that stands between you and the freedom that God has for you and that Jesus purchased on your behalf. Don't allow that to stand in the way of you being free, but rather the need you have for God, learn how to feed it. Feed the need. This begs the question, well, Pastor, what is a need? What is a need? A need is something that is essential. Everybody say essential.
Essential,
essential means that it's absolutely necessary. It's absolutely necessary. It's fundamental to the central essence of who you are. Let me put it in layman's term. I can't live without blank. Right? I can't live without blank. Well, what do we need? We said it's God. You need, oh, Jesus, you need God in your life. Somebody needs to hear this today. You need God. You need him in your life. And so this statement for you should be, I can't live without God. I can't live. Like, you should wake up every day and saying, man, just like the air you breathe and like the water you drink, God should be that much of an absolute necessity in your life. And you should be saying, what do I need to do to get God inside of me today? What is it that I'm not doing that I need to do to make sure that I'm communing and communicating with God today in a way that maybe I did not before? We have to feed the need. We have to understand that we can't live without God. Why? Philippians 4:19 says this. I'm gonna give you two good reasons why. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all of your needs. Did y'all hear me? And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Are there needs that you have in your life? Well, this must be a reason for you to need God, because he's actually the one that supplies all of your needs, which means that he is absolutely necessary and essential to your life. If there are needs, it's God's job, he says, to fulfill them for you. Let me give you another example. Psalm 23:1. Y'all know this. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing, it says in the NIV. What is that telling us there? Well, what is the role of a shepherd? It is to lead the sheep. That's a shepherd's job. Simple, plain, lead the sheep. But it's also this. In what way do they lead? They provide, shepherds provide, protection and provision. And without the shepherd, you lack that. Without that role in your life, you lack protection and provision, right? And the guidance that you get from your shepherd. But a lot of times we're trying to live without these essential things. You need provision in your life. You need protection in your life. And trust me that you need guidance in your life. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. He is our shepherd. And let me say this here, that your needs are not just natural. Your needs are also spiritual. Let me say that again. Your needs are not just natural. They are also spiritual. So you have to feed that spiritual need. In Matthew 4, there's a story of after, it's funny, it's after Jesus gets baptized. It says that he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And this is important. Why? It's because if he's not tempted in the devil in this moment, when he goes to the cross, he will not be prepared for what he had to do. That's why this moment is so important. And what does it say? He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And I love this one sentence here. He was hungry. He was hungry. Fully man, fully God. He was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, well, if you are the Son of God, let's go ahead and make some food up here. You know, let's get a couple sub sandwiches happening. Like, let's turn these stones into bread. Tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus said this. He said, actually, it's written that man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. What is this telling us? It's telling us, Jesus is literally saying, actually, man cannot live on just the natural. You can't just live on the things that sustain your body. But actually, we have an internal need. We have an internal spiritual need. There's a need for spiritual food that we have to fulfill, right? That the spiritual meaning, right? It's the things. What does spiritual mean? It means things that are connected to God. Big S, right? Things that are connected to God. What's he talking about here? You need his divine protection. You need his divine provision. You need his divine guidance in your life. I love that he uses the phrase bread alone, because that lets me know, right, that there's supposed to be more than bread, but that we can't just live on bread alone. And what does that mean? It means bread alone means spiritual starvation. It's some of us are trying to do natural alone, and it's like we're starving ourselves of God. We're so consumed with the natural and this earth and looking good and the latest social media, the latest craze and all this stuff, that we're actually starving ourselves of God. And we wonder, we're always asking the question, what am I missing? What is my purpose? Where am I going? Right? Here's the thing. You don't know God. You have starved yourself of the thing that's supposed to be helping you figure that stuff out. But because you're starved of God, you're walking around here hungry. Jesus did a purposeful fast. We're just doing it just because. And we're hungry. We're so hungry for God. We have to feed the need. You ever notice that we spend most of our time feeding the want, feeding the natural? Come on, can I just talk about that for a minute? We spend a lot of time feeding the want. What do I mean by that? What do you mean by that, Pastor Kevin? I mean, we spend a lot of time feeding our sinful nature. Our sinful nature. We spend a lot of time feeding just our passions and desires. Lord, forgive me for the crawfish boil yesterday. You know, Jesus. All right. We spend a lot of time outside of Crawfish Bro, Lord, you can give us that one, right? We spend a lot of time feeding, right, our passions and desires. And you know what it is? When we feed, what we're actually feeding is our selfishness. Let me put it this way. It's our sinful self-interest. That's what we end up feeding. We're feeding our flesh. The carnal, worldly side of us gets all of the food, all of the attention, all of the time, all of the talents, all of the treasure, everything goes towards just the natural, and there's nothing left for the spiritual. We want to give God our leftovers when he's supposed to be the primary meal. What is flesh? It's our body and soul. It's just the reason, right? It's just all the faculties that we have. It's our affections and desires and everything that runs contrary to who God is. Not only, right, because when we think of carnal, when we think of flesh, we think, oh, that just has to do with sex. But it's not just sexual activity, but it's actually every area of our lives. Because some of us, if you were to say that I can't live without blank, you could fill in those blanks. Maybe it's coffee. Maybe it's a man or a woman. Maybe it's some show. Man, I can't live without this show. I can't live without this habit or this attitude. But the word tells us it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Galatians 5:1 says, not even in my notes. It tells us to not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Because if you start to put natural things in the place of what you can't live without, you are immediately putting yourself back into bondage that Christ already paid to get you out of. You are negating the freedom that he purchased for you by saying that you can't live without anything else but God. God wants that position. And that's why we see here in Galatians 5:13, read it earlier, said, you, my brothers and sisters, you were actually called to be free. That's what God called you to. Yeah. And so do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Don't use the freedom that you have to go back into the lifestyle or the stuff that you know does not honor God. But it says here, rather serve one another humbly in love. What does that mean? The actions that I take, the things that I do, I'm thinking about more than just me. Maybe the Lord is asking, oh, I hear you, Holy Spirit. Maybe the Lord is asking me to feed the need of him because somebody's watching me. There are people watching you and they're looking at you and wondering, well, I know that person's a believer. They're a Christian. But it seems like, man, they're doing everything opposite of what a Christian does. Maybe you're on assignment and you living for God in the way that you're supposed to is the way that you are showing them humility and love. It says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Let me stop right here, because a lot of times, here's what we focus on. We focus on the love your neighbor part, and we miss out on the love yourself part. But actually, you can't love somebody else if you don't love yourself. And what do you do when you love yourself? You make sure that you're fed. When you love yourself, you make sure that you're cared for. You make sure that you're clean. You make sure that every need that you have is fed. And so what we have to do is actually we have to love ourselves so that we can love our neighbors. Yeah. So that we can do it the same way. That's what it's saying. Love your neighbor as in the same way like you love yourself. But you gotta love yourself to do that. Let me keep going on. Right? If you bite and devour each other, watch out, for you will be destroyed by each other. And so the word tells us here, so I say, walk by the Spirit. What is it telling us to do there? To be led by the Spirit, to allow the Spirit to work in and through you. And look what happens if you do that. If you start to attain to things that are spiritual, that are like God, you will not indulge the desires of the flesh. So, man, if I'm trying to live for God, then what do I need to do? Man, I need to make sure that I'm in his presence. I need to make sure that I'm feeding that God need inside of me, because if I'm full on God, I will not have the desires for the other things. I won't even have time to think about them. I'm so full on God, like we were so full on crawfish yesterday, I won't eat nothing else. I just want God. I want all that he has for me. I want his spirit in me. Verse 17 says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. Your flesh desires what is contrary to God. And the spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. Those things are warring in you so that the freedom that you're supposed to have, you actually don't have, because even if you're doing the things that you think you want to do, there's a God side that still, he's knocking at the door. And so even when you, come on, some of y'all like me, when you go and do those things and you're in the club and you're doing that stuff, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, man, I really shouldn't be doing this. Yeah. You start smoking and drinking things that you know you're not supposed to, and you just feel so free in doing it, but actually in the back of your head, you hear that voice. You start engaging in sexual activity and things that you're not supposed to do when you're not married. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right? And in the back of your mind, you hear that voice. Why? It's because those things are contrary. The things of God are contrary to the things of flesh. You're supposed to be attaining and connected to God. You're supposed to be able to live free. It says here, but if you are led by the Spirit, verse 18, you are not under the law. What does that mean? You're free. You are free. So my encouragement today to all of us is to live freely. To live freely and to feed the need. Feed that God need that's on the inside of you. Yeah. How do I do that, Pastor Kevin? I get myself back under the protection and the provision and the guidance of God. I get myself back under the protection, the provision, and the guidance of God. And I'm consistently feeding the need. I'm consistently turning away from the things of the flesh. And when they come up, I allow that little voice in the back of my head to get as loud as it can get. And I start turning away those sinful desires, those passions, those things that are not like God. And I allow those voices to get as small as they can. I actually am starving myself of the sinful desires while I'm feeding myself on God. What am I doing? I am transforming my appetite. I'm changing who I am and how I eat and what I consume so that when I get hungry, I'm getting hungry for the right things. And that's why Jesus could tell the devil, actually, you know what? I'm not even hungry for that natural stuff. What I desire is my heavenly Father. And when you get into situations of temptation, you can say, you know what? I'm not even hungry for that stuff. I'm hungry for the presence of God. He's who, what I want. Yes. I want his protection and his provision and his guidance in my life. But there are so many of us that fall into the trap of the world, believing that loving yourself, as we talked about earlier, means simply gratifying the desires of the flesh. We think that freedom, right? Loving yourself and being free, that's life. That's actually not life. We think that feeding just that want, those desires and those passions, that man, I'm loving myself because I'm giving myself everything that I want. Maybe it's not everything that you're supposed to have. God designed and ordered us in a way that shows that when we love ourselves, what it actually means is that we're living freely while being led by the Spirit of God, while consuming the things of God and desiring him and pursuing him, that we are enlightened and motivated by God's Spirit, and that we are ever pushing ourselves towards the spiritual things of God and what that fulfills in our lives, that we're feeding the need, our fundamental need for God, our absolutely necessary need for the things of God, that we can't get enough of him, and then that we're only satisfied by the things of God, that those natural things that we spend so much time focusing on, you'll start to recognize that it's like food, that you eat it, and then the next moment you're hungry again. Because you're never actually satisfied by that. Because it's not meant to satisfy you, it's meant to distract you. But when I start feeding on the things of God, what happens? I become full. And even when I'm full, I want more of Him. I can't get enough. And when I get to the moments that I'm empty, I'm crawling back. Well, what do I have to do to get back into the presence of God? Because, I need His provision. And I need His protection. I need His guidance. And what is life without God? It actually doesn't look how I want it to look. But we're so busy living in a way and just feeding our wants that we're missing out on what we actually need. What we need is God. That's why the 2 Corinthians verse is so important. It says, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, what happens? The veil is taken away. When we make a decision to follow Jesus, it's almost like you have blinders on your eyes. It's literally what a veil is. That is not allowing you to see things as they really are. But you're focusing on things that are actually not godly. Your eyes are covered up from the things of God, but when you turn to Him, that veil is taken away. And look what happens. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. You declare Him Lord, you start desiring the things that are connected to Him. You just start desiring His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, look what happens. There's freedom. So when you start feeding yourself on Him, that's when freedom comes. And all of us who have unveiled faces, when we start thinking of the Lord's glory, our lives start to be transformed, and we're consistently being transformed. And all you gotta do is take the veil off. All you have to do is just turn back to God and say, Lord, I'm gonna turn back to You. I'm going to turn away from those passions and desires and those things that are constantly leading away from my flesh, from my sinful nature, from my selfishness and my sinful self-interest. I refuse to put that veil back up and remove from my view all that Christ did. Because that's the thing about the veil. What is the veil covering up? It's covering up for you all the things that Christ has actually done for you to make you free. When you're stuck in the natural, you're not thinking about the redemption and the reconciliation that Christ actually went to the cross on your behalf. But when you turn back to God, the veil comes down and you can see clearly all that Jesus has done and what He wants to do in your life. And so my encouragement today is to turn back to the Lord. To live freely, to live with the free will that God has given you in His presence and the authority that He has to provide protection and guidance and provision for your life that comes with living within the boundaries of God's authority. We always think they're always telling me no, and the Bible's always telling me things to do, but actually the boundaries allow you to live more freely because I don't have to worry about the other things in life because I know God is watching over. And I know that He's providing every need. And wherever He's telling me to go, I know it's a good place. Whatever He's telling me to do, even if it's difficult, I choose to do it because I know there's freedom attached to it. And all of this freedom was given to you by Jesus, that you could be within the boundaries and the confines of God's will, that you could have a connection with Him and know Him. So again, my encouragement to you today is to live freely. How do I start to live freely? We already read it. To take the veil off. And how do I do that? I simply turn back to God. And in all the things that Christ has done for you, start to become clear. Bow your heads, let me pray for you.
Lord, thank you for listening to this message. If you want to hear more about this series or learn more about our church, check us out at cityheartjackson.com or follow us online at cityheartjxn.